Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Once you find Ephesians 3, I want you to find verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to find verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. And if you would stand with me, I'm going to read to us four or five verses here. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse number 15 helps us with the sermon tonight. Notice the Bible speaks about the whole family. The whole family in heaven and on earth. Tonight, I'm going to call my sermon a church family meeting. A church family meeting. And let's pray. Father, help us tonight. I want to say quickly what I say, but I certainly don't want to rush to the point that the Word of God is not glorified and lifted up. I pray that everyone would pay close attention. There are people here that are weary. But Father, may we alert ourselves to the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. Help the young people to sit still and not to interrupt, and help us to know that the Bible is eternal, and we need to listen, and we need to grow, and we need to apply what is taught to our lives, please. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here the Bible talks about the Christian family. And it says we're given a name. We're called a family, and there's part of the Christian family is down here on earth right now, and then of course there are those that are in heaven already. When all of our children were at home, of course we have four children, and they're all out of our house now, and they're married. And but when they were growing up. We had family devotions at our home every day, all the way through the years that my children were in our home. But there were times when we had a family meeting. Every once in a while, I'd say to them, we're going to have a family meeting. I'm not sure they really look forward to those, because that meant there was some topic that needed to get a little extra attention, if you will. But my wife and I would discuss something and say, you know what, we better just sit down with all the kids, and we need to have a talk about this, because it's the direction that we're heading with something, or something's getting a little off base here in the family. And so we would have a family meeting, and the meetings were conducted with dignity, and everybody would sit, and we would make explanations, and they would ask questions and all. They didn't ask a lot of questions, but we would tell them, you know, what we expected. And tonight I'm going to show you some things in the Bible, and I think if you and I sit down with Jesus and had a family meeting, I'm going to tell you some things that I think he would say in a family meeting. But families are special, and families are God-given. In Ephesians 3:15, it said, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Here the Bible speaks of the family of God. And God is our Father, and we are Christian brothers and sisters. God even speaks about his children and how they should behave. Listen to this, these two verses. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says this, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So here God was saying, those of us that are Christians, we ought to be like-minded. We ought to be compassionate with one another. We should love as brethren. What he's talking about, he said, when somebody gets born again and becomes a part of the church family, that's supposed to be just like your kin, just like your blood family. And then he said, show pity, or he said, be pitiful. Now, some of you are saying, I know a lot of pitiful people. Now, what it's talking about is be the kind of people that show show pity. There's a compassion involved in that. And it talks about don't you be evil if they're evil. And he said, don't you attack if they attack. In other words, hey, listen, if somebody in the church family, if they get a little rough or they say a little something that they shouldn't towards you, we don't need two people doing that. You learn how to if one gets out of sorts, the other should control themselves so the whole thing can be calmed down and turned aside, and that way it doesn't become inflamed. And he was talking about how the church family ought to behave. If 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Here God is saying, one of the good signs of your salvation is the fact that you love the Christian people around you. In 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we that the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, when this is talking about laying down our lives for the brethren, it does not necessarily mean you need to physically die. What it means is what we ought to be willing to lay our desires aside. We die to self so that we might help our Christian brother. We die to our will. We die to our preferences. We die to ourselves that others might be served. But I think if Jesus called a family meeting, if Jesus said, I want to have a family meeting, all of us kids might do what my kids used to say, oh no, well, we're probably in trouble if there's being a family meeting. Now, I'm going to show you what I think Jesus would say if he called a family meeting. And I'll tell you how. Over and over again, I noticed in the scripture, he uses the words, he talks about loving one another. And when he says one for another or one another, he's talking about the Christian family. And so I looked in the scripture and I found that there was about 6 or 7 applications in there where he speaks out in that way. And the Heavenly Father was saying to his children, this is how you ought to behave in the house of God. Let me show you. First of all, I think God's family should pray for one another. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now, that is in reference to the family. That one another is that point that will be made in every one of the points that I make tonight. Pray one for another. Family members should pray for family members. Now, on my prayer list, I have my blood relatives. Mrs. Owens and I, we went to a family reunion back in August on her side of the family. And when I was with her brothers and sisters in a private moment, I didn't embarrass them in front of everybody, but I told every one of them, I told her brother Gary, I said, Gary, I want you to know, I pray for you every single day and without fail by name. I pray for every one of my children, of course, and I pray for my grandchildren, and I pray for my own brothers and my sisters and my parents, and I pray for Sabrina's mom and Sabrina's dad. She's my daughter-in-law, though we don't call her a daughter-in-law. She's a daughter to us. But I pray for the in-laws. But I pray for my church family too. We sometimes will pray for our blood relatives and then we forget. We have another family. And you're part of my family. If people were say to me, Preacher, I know you pray for me every day. And I bring this up to you because I want you to know your pastor loves you and I pray for you. But to me, we're a family. This is my family. And that's very precious to me. And folks, those of you that you say you're big on family, but then you don't pray for your family, you're not as big on it as what you think. You say, why? Because we can't do everything ourselves that need to be done, but God can do anything that needs to be done. And I would be shortchanging you if I did not pray for you, because I can't meet all your needs, but I can get a hold of the one that can meet your needs. And so God said, he said, pray one for another. So I think if Jesus called a family meeting, he would say, kids, I want you to be praying for one another. Now, look, I think of the Andrews family right now, because that's near and dear to our hearts. Folks, I don't know how you feel, but there's only so much that we can do. But we ought to do what we can do. And we can pray. And when you say, Preacher, what do you do? I don't know. Go to God and say, God, do for them everything you can do. And suddenly we're doing something. Hey, rather than criticize one of your church family members, pray for them. Pray for them. You say, well, my child's Sunday school teacher dropped the ball. I wonder how much you pray for your child's Sunday school teacher. You say, that nursery worker, that she just didn't handle this right. I wonder how many times you prayed for that nursery worker. Let's pray for one another. Look, I've said this and said it often. If you want to talk bad about me, I'm good with it. But I'd really like you to talk bad about me to God on your knees and get me all the help you can get, because you got it. I need a lot of help. But when you talk to other people, they can't fix me, but God can fix me. If you would like, I'd love this, if everybody in here would take about an hour a day and get on your knees and tell God everything that's wrong with me and ask God to help me, I would love that. Because I'm aware that I fall short. But you can't fix it. But if I could get you to go to God, He could help me. Have you ever spent an hour on your knees? But let's pray. Because that's one thing we could do. He said, pray one for another. Not only that, in Hebrews 3:13, the second point is we should be picker-uppers of one another. I'm going to explain that in a second. We're to be picker-uppers of one another. In Hebrews 3:13, it says this, but exhort one another daily. Exhort one another. There it is. That means it's a part of the family unit, one another. He's talking within the church family. The word exhort there, it's virtually the very same word as the word advocate. Let me read this to you. In 1 John 2:1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, that word advocate is equivalent to the word comforter. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Let me explain. The word exhort here, it is telling you to behave toward one another like the Holy Spirit behaves toward us. You know what the Holy Spirit does for us? If we stumble or if we have a hard time, He runs alongside us and helps pick us up. He's there to pick us up. That's something that the Holy Spirit does. I know that doesn't sound real theological, but the Holy Spirit's our picker-upper. Isn't it amazing how you can come to church and be down and the Holy Spirit get a hold of something and just a song, maybe it's a song we sang together, maybe it's a song that somebody sang. Mrs. Owens was singing Brother Jack Edwards' song this morning. Just fantastic. It was a picker-upper. And then you hear a sermon and it picks you up. And what God is saying, He's having, if God had a family meeting, He would say, now I want you to love one another, kids. And then He would say, I want you to help pick each other up. Boy, I'll tell you, if you're a parent, there's nothing like watching your children help each other to succeed. But can I tell you something? It breaks your heart and it gets on your nerves when your kids don't help each other and they push each other down. And when one falls, they laugh or they get a kick out of it. You don't want your kids acting that way toward each other. Well, you know, God's our Heavenly Father. And I think He looks at us and He says, exhort one another. And honestly, if you study that word exhort the right way, you're going to find out He's saying, you ought to do for each other what my Holy Spirit tries to do for you, and the Holy Spirit helps to pick you up. We get along better in the church if we're picker-uppers. Don't be a critic of everybody. Be a picker-upper. Nobody needs you to knock them down. People need you to help pick them up. You're either going to be an encourager or you're going to be a discourager. So be a picker-upper with your words and be a picker-upper with your attitude. And so, hey, family members, let's love one another. Hey, family members, let's be there to pick one another up. And thirdly, I notice that we are to care. That's simple. We're to care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, there's that one another. That's the family unit again. God's pointing out, I'm talking to my kids. And so God's called a family meeting. He said, you kids need to love each other, and you kids need to pick each other up when you fall down, and you need to learn to care for each other. Hey, who in our church knows that you care? Remember, folks, we're family. Do others feel like you're apart because of your expressions of care? Now, I have to tell you, caring does not come natural. You have to require it of yourselves. Those things that are most right to do, our flesh does not want to do them. So we must require our flesh to do them. I want to encourage everybody here to do something. Make sure that you start working at caring for people you don't know. There are new people in our church. Somebody needs to care for them. If we're not careful, we'll care for the two or three people that we know and we find ourselves satisfied with that. I don't think that's how the family works. We have four children in our family. If our first three were born and we all cared about each other, and then the fourth one came along and everybody in the family said, we're maxed out at three. Number four, we're not going to care about you. You're going to have to go somewhere else to find care. You say, preacher, that is ridiculous. That's what some people in the church do. Well, I'm going to care about these over here, but all this new stuff, forget about it. Wait a minute. They got born into the family. Well, which family? Your family. Who's your dad? Who's your brethren? Who's your sistren? I love it. What we try to do is, if we're not careful, we'll care for those in our little circle. I would have in the world called it my little clique. To care means you're willing to sacrifice and help. And we all have to learn how to care. Hey, learn to step out of your comfort zone and care for somebody that maybe you don't know. Let your care spread. You say, well, that could be a little taxing if I cared for a few more people. Boy, God wants you to grow in your care. I think if God had a family meeting with his family, he would say, let's love each other. I think he would say, let's pick each other up. I think he would say, let's care. And if we add some people to the family, let's make sure that we care about them as well. And number four, I think we're to confess our faults one to another. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another. There that is. You heard those words, to another? He's talking about within that family unit. He's saying, those of you that are born again, you're part of the church family, you got to confess your faults one to another. Let me tell you what that means. Very basic teaching. It means you need to apologize. I've watched people that maybe they'll do something that they shouldn't have done and they won't apologize for it. And before long, they've got themselves distanced from God and distanced from people. And before long, they'll just leave the church because that distance, it kind of festers and it drives a wedge between them and somebody. Can I just recommend to everybody in here, if you do something you shouldn't do or you don't handle something quite right, just come to yourself as quickly as you can. Go see somebody and say, I'm sorry, I didn't handle that right. Get it over with. Get it behind you. That helps some of your marriages. That helps some of you young people with your mom and dad. That's just an apology. You know, the way a church stays unified is, and the way they have a spirit of unity and togetherness is that they make sure that they apologize when apologies are necessary. Hey, we're pretty good at confessing everybody else's faults. But we're not to be confessing everybody else's faults. In other words, we're glad to say, did you see what that knucklehead did? Wow, yeah, do you see what she did? Did you see what he did? That was stupid. That was dumb. Why'd they act that way? Really, you ought to be concerned about yours. You know, nobody in this church has heard me stand up here and attack another fundamental Baptist church, another fundamental Baptist preacher about what they're doing. I got my hands full taking care of me. I need to keep me confessed up. I don't need to be worried about everybody else's things. And listen, every one of us, we just need to make sure, if we want to function properly as a family, that apologies are rendered when apologies are due. Again, when we were raising our kids, if one did something to another that they were not supposed to do, We sat down, we had a talk, and we said an apology is due to your brother, or an apology is due to your sister. And you know, those apologies help keep the family unit tight. And you won't have a tight family unit in the local New Testament church unless those apologies are rendered. Now, sometimes men, they get bullheaded. And let me recommend something. If you're a bullheaded person, if you need a day or two to stew on how right you were and how that other guy was a knucklehead, you go ahead and stew. But somebody needs to come to themselves pretty quick and say, you know what, we just need to get this straightened out. I'm not going to be, in all actuality, I'm not going to be a big baby and let this fester and poison my spirit and get me contrary in the church. We'll never survive as a family unit unless we learn how to confess our faults one to another. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to come to me. I'm not your priest, and you don't have to confess all your sins to me. You have a high priest. His name is Jesus. You can go directly to him. But I think when I hurt you or when you hurt me, I think it doesn't hurt to say, you know what, I was wrong. I apologize. You just get it fixed up. Someone has wrongly said apologies express weakness, and I totally disagree. I think apologies express strength and strong Christianity. So as a family, we need to confess our faults one to another. Not only that, as a family, we're to prefer one another. To prefer one another. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Now there that those words are, one another. What is that? That's the family unit. If Jesus called a family meeting, he would say, now kids, I want you to love one another. And I want you to make sure that you help pick one another up. And I want you to make sure that you really care about each other. And I want you to come, if you hurt your brother or you hurt your sister, just admit it and get past that and don't let it fester. And then he says, preferring one another. That's that family unit again. That means you prefer your Christian brother over yourself. When there are two pieces of pie and three people, you decide you don't want pie on that day. You say, Pastor, that's it. I've had it. I put up with all this other junk. But when it comes down to pie, we draw the line there. But you prefer them over yourself. You all remember the story. Abraham was a very successful man. He had herds. And Lot, he was a very successful man, and he had herds. And they had many men working for them. And it got to the point where there was contention. And Abraham said to Lot, he said, Lot, you take whatever you want, and I'll take what's left over. And do you know what that was? That was Abraham preferring Lot. Now, Lot didn't prefer Abraham. Lot said, I'll take everything. I'll take the best for myself. You all understand what happened to him, right? Now listen, God said to his family, to his kids, he said, in honor, prefer one another. You ought not fight over the good parking spot in the parking lot. Don't fight over the smallest of things. If we all just wanted everybody else to be cared for. You say, Pastor, in this day and age, if you live like that, they'll eat you up. I don't care what they're going to do. There's a right and a wrong behavior. So it might cost me. Well, don't you think it costs Jesus something to die for you? We're not to determine our Christianity this day and age on what it costs us or what everybody else is doing. We're supposed to live our Christianity based on the Bible. The Bible says, in honor, we are to prefer one another. You say, well, Pastor, there was a position here at the church, a Sunday school teacher, or a position I wanted, and somebody else got it. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bypass you. We didn't mean to bypass you. But you know what you ought to be doing? Instead of being jealous of them, you ought to be thanking God they got it. If we would all just develop an attitude that says, well, thank God that they got something, and thank God they're prospering. Does jealousy grip your attitude? Does jealousy grip your spirit? If it does, you're going to have a hard time in your own family with your blood relatives, but in the church, jealousy is not going to help you. That green-eyed monster will destroy you. Why can't we be glad when others get what we want? You say, well, it'd be good for me. Well, if it's good for you, it's going to be good for them. I mean, a Christian wants somebody else to have what's good. So, I think Can you imagine Jesus sitting down with his kids and saying, "Now, I know somebody got something that you wanted. Can't you just be glad for them and quit feeling sorry for yourself?" It sounds like something the parent would say, doesn't it? Doesn't the parent say, now you need to get along. And you need to love your brothers. And you need to love your sisters. And you need to help pick them up when they're struggling. And you need to really care about them. And you need to apologize. Boy, it just sounds like something parents would say to their children. Well, we do have a Heavenly Father. And He makes it very clear. Over and over He says one to another. And that's within the family. You know, folks, it's real clear how we're supposed to behave as Christians. It's real clear that we should pray for one another, that we should do these things. I'm going to finish, and I'm going to talk about love for just a second. We're to love one another. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." That's that family unit again. Do you love the brethren? I didn't ask if you like them. I ask if you love them. We're to love them. We have to learn to open our hearts and love people. What are we so afraid of? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm afraid if I open my heart and I get to loving more people, I stand to take a hit to my heart. Maybe they'll disappoint me." Folks, don't love people because of what you're going to get out of it. Love people because of what you get to put into it. Can I tell y'all something? If God was only going to love us because of what He got out of it, He sure invested. It was a terrible investment. God didn't love you because of what He'd get out of it. God loved you because of what He was. God loved you because it was right. And let me tell you, if you love, you will get something out of it. Because the Bible talks about, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, we might take that as a negative. If you sow bad, you're going to reap bad. But let me tell you something. It's got a positive connotation, too. If I do good, I will receive good. And you won't go wrong by loving. You say, "Why?" "I've got a hunch that love never faileth." Maybe I could say it this way: charity never faileth. Now, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be knowledge, it shall cease. But charity never faileth. We're to love one another. And again, let me tell you, we love our kin, we love our blood relatives, but God said we have another family. And that family, it's a family that's on earth and in heaven, and it's our brethren, it's the Christians that are a part of our local New Testament church, and we are to love them. Listen, if you go around and you're critical of your brothers, it's not a real good, strong sign of love. Let me read to you Psalm 133, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments." Let me ask, do this. Older members, please love our newer members. If the older members only love the older members, we do not have the proper unity. Hey, are you a new member? Dig in. Get involved. Learn how to love these people. We're family. Become a part of the family. You know, I think sometimes when you talk about family, I was counseling one day, and I had thought this, but a person kind of clarified it for me. He said, "Preacher, you talk about family, and you got all these positive things about family." And this person looked at me and said, "I don't understand family. I grew up, it was a mess. I mean, I didn't know my dad. My mother was a mess. And when you talk about love, yeah, and preacher, when you say you ought to love them like you love your own brother," I'm thinking, you don't want me to treat anybody the way I treated my brother growing up. And they said, it's hard when there's a comparison made, because I, for the first time, feel like I'm a part of a family here in the church, because I really didn't have anything as much as a family when I was at home. I said, and I told him, I said, "Listen, boy, I'm glad you said that. But you got to get this. You've got to get this." Some of you, you know, you hear about family and love and all that, and you're saying, "Fooey on that. I've been through some of that with my kin or my blood family, and I got hurt." Well, listen, this is all about the things of God. And no matter what we've experienced in the past, this is right. I think if God had a little family chat, He'd set us all down and He said, "Okay, now listen, I want you to pray for each other. And I want you to make sure that you pick each other up. I want you to care for one another. I want you to learn to apologize. I want you to prefer each other. I want you to make sure you love one another. Now, I want to say this. In the last year, our church has taken a lot of hits. Boy, illnesses and relationship hits. I'm going to tell you something. I'm very proud of you. Our church has handled themselves with a lot of dignity. They've handled themselves with a lot of propriety. And I am so glad of that. I'm not the dad, but if I were the dad and this was the family, I would say, hey, kids, I am so proud of you. You've handled yourselves well. We've gone through hardship, but we've stayed unified. And when people stumbled, we didn't attack them and we didn't throw them out. We just kept going and we kept loving. I even think this. I think we kept our mouth shut when it needed to be shut because you couldn't fix it. So you just prayed and you talked to God instead of talk to each other. That's very wise. And I can tell you a whole lot of hurting people that appreciate that. We ought to stick together. We ought to be family. And if we'll do that, boy, the old devil, he can't destroy that. We stick together and let Jesus and the Bible be our glue. That'll help us. And so, I'd have a little family meeting. And I watched. You know, if I said there's going to be a family meeting, my wife and I'd be sitting in the kitchen and then I'd hear the kids around the corner right before it's time in there going, what's this all about? What's going on? Did you do something? Are we in trouble? They'd come in and sit down. It wasn't always negative, but it was just something that we needed to hear as a family. Again, I've seen a lot of people. We have someone that's very sick in our church right now. I am so proud of our people. You would think that was our wife, our mom, our grandmother. That was our sister. And that kind of compassion is exactly what the New Testament church is all about. You say, I'm hurting over this. Good. That's what you do when family's hurting. That's how it ought to be. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved here tonight, I'd like for you to become part of the family. Get born again. It's a great family to be a part of. If you'll come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. To the Christian family, to those that are a part of this local New Testament church, let me encourage you, keep serving Jesus, keep going forward, and let's have family as God would have our family be. Who here tonight would say, preacher, tonight's service, there's something about the sermon, maybe the Lord's Supper, maybe the music. You say, but God spoke to my heart tonight, and I paid attention. I believe God's worked in my heart this evening in a unique and a special way. Would you put your hand up so God can see it? And you may put those hands down. If you need a moment at this altar, I want you to feel like you can come. You might want to just come and say, you know, there's a song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You might want to come and get on your knees and say, I'm so glad I'm a part of this family. Maybe it is. You just need to come and pray for some part of the family. Or if you have a burden, a heartache, or maybe you just need a moment with Jesus, we're going to open the altar that you might have that moment. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. And the altar is available to you if you need to come and pray. Hey, maybe you know some part of the church family that's struggling, or maybe somebody that has a need. Come pray. Maybe it's your part of the family. You come and pray for the family of God, and thank God that you're a part of the family of God. He said in Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is our family. We're going to pray for each other and pick each other up. We're going to care for one another. We're going to apologize to one another. We're going to prefer one another, and we're going to love one another. And as a result of it, this old sin-cursed world would look at us, and they'll think, wow, that is so unique in a wicked, independent, self-centered world. Look at those people. They care about each other. And for some of you, you'll have to grow. Because you're not used to having family like that. You're not used to family that cares about the spiritual and that prays for you and loves you and would prefer you over themselves. We're not used to that. And there are people like that. But get it. Learn it. the family of God. I love that. The Bible said, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Powerful verses. This is the last time through the song we'll say a prayer and we'll be on our way.